very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
Now the best of the wake up call on AM 920 WGNU.
Who dare listen to us? A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to email me, if you want to get to me like that, you can email me at Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. Don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net or LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. Almost on a daily basis, we hear stories of the condition that our soldiers find themselves in. Yesterday we heard the tragic story, it was reported on our show, of a soldier that decided that he was going to suicide by cop. A soldier that just recently came home from the war, 19-year-old young man, a baby, if you will. His mother said that the final line in the story about this young man was a comment from his mother, who said that he was changed when he came back from the war. And rather than continue to live in the manner that he was, I mean, from the outside there were no wounds. He decided to take on the police department. He shot and, I believe, killed a police officer, shot and wounded another police officer, and then another police officer shot and killed him, as it was, it appears, his wish. We have a what they're calling a backdoor draft going on, where there's legislation pending that would extend the stay of National Guard's people, contrary to their contracts. We have, when you really think about it, we have a military that is pulling from the National Guard and putting the National Guard in places that they never intended to go. If we have an administration that proclaims that they are all about states' rights, but yet and still they are violating the very principle and the very rights of states by directing their National Guards to Guards members to serve in a military action in a foreign country, the ultimate act of violating states' rights. We have soldiers that are dying every day. We have a war that is escalating. We have soldiers that are being unprotected. And in the midst of all of that are parents that, if they are paying attention, are very concerned about what's going to happen to their young son, their young daughter. Because if the lawsuits that are being filed by soldiers are successful, the lawsuits that are asking that the government be prevented from extending tours of duty, from calling you up when your service has been completed, if those lawsuits are successful, there are bodies that are needed for a war that has been described by General or Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld as probably not ending for about 10 years or so. There are bodies that are needed for that. Where are they going to come from? Anybody that is honest, anybody that is realistic, and anybody that has their eyes open knows that the National Guard cannot satisfy the bloody need in Iraq. And that a draft will have to be forthcoming. So for once, we're going to try to get ahead of the curve, ahead of the ball here. We need to talk before the decision is made by our government to engage in a draft. We need to talk about options that people have to the draft. And in order to have that discussion, we have to take a historical walk. We have to walk back and talk about what has happened when our government has involved us in other illegal wars, what other folks have done. So I wanna have that conversation this morning, and to facilitate that conversation, at least to help facilitate that conversation, I have three guests that are joining me in the studio today to talk about an organization and efforts that are alternatives to military service. I have joining me in the studio today Hilliard Phillips. Good morning.
Good morning,
please. David Dodd.
Good morning.
And I also have Kalimu Ndeshu. Good morning.
Good morning.
And move up to the mic just a little bit. David, I'm going to start with you. Talk to us about, you are a conscientious objector.
Yes, I am.
Talk to us about how you became one.
Well, I was a college student in 1969, and I wanted to emphasize how quickly the draft changed. It changed within a matter of days, and it changed without any national discussion or debate or any political discussion at all. But I was a college student there. I had a college deferment, and all of a sudden, well, there were rumblings that the college, that the student deferments would end. But I knew I was a conscientious objector long before that. I just, the idea of killing or bearing arms, I just felt like that violated my religious beliefs, and I just never envisioned myself entering the military, so I just kind of naturally felt like a conscientious objector. When I got to college, there was a draft counselor on campus. I was very lucky because of that. Also, my best friend was a conscientious objector. His name was Terry, and he hooked me up with this draft counselor.
What college was this?
This was Knox College in Illinois. The draft happened very. The draft rules changed. College students deferment generally allowed people to graduate in their senior year before they were eligible for the draft. But President Nixon decided, and Congress decided very quickly that that didn't seem to be very fair. So within a period of about 2 weeks, again, with no debate, the rules changed, and there was this drawing of lottery numbers, draft lottery. They took 365 balls with the dates of the year in them, put them in a big box and drew them on national TV. And I like to make the joke that this was Vanna White's first job, is to come out and pick up these balls, but I don't think it's really Vanna White. But they started selecting balls, and if you were selected the first ball, then you were the first to be drafted. And
what was written on the balls?
The dates, the 165, you know, December 1st, December 5th, 2nd, 3rd. So everybody's date was represented in there.
Everybody's birth date?
Birth date.
Okay.
So when the draws were balls were drawn, it was kind of decided beforehand that if your number was drawn from serial number 1 through 120, that you'd almost certainly be drafted at the end of the school year. If it was 121 to 240, maybe, if the needs were there. And if it was 241 to 365, you wouldn't be drafted. Well, one of my friends was drafted, pick number one. His ball came out very first. And he got, everybody was watching this in a big TV room on college, at the college. And he got up and left and got very drunk and dropped out of school within a week. My friend Terry got a low number. He was allowed to finish the school year. He graduated, and he eventually was drafted and refused induction, and that's kind of another story. I think he was a real hero, a conscientious objector who was a hero. And my number was in that low group. I filed for conscientious objector. You could do this far in advance back in 1969 or 1970. You can't do that today.
Who told you that you could file, and who told you that you could fill out this form as a conscientious objector? How did you learn about that?
Basically, I had access to this draft counselor on campus, and his name was Frank Young. He was very knowledgeable, and he kind of explained the whole process. The application is basically a letter, three or four paragraphs, where you explain what your beliefs are and how you came, how you arrived at those beliefs, and then you submitted it to your draft board. And in today's world, something similar happens, only you can't do that until after you've been given an induction notice. So it's changed a little bit, but some of the strength of the application has to do with showing that you've had these beliefs over a period of time and they've been consistent with your the way you've lived your life. And so people that are interested in applying for conscientious objector now really need to be developing this file.
Well, and we'll get to that, but let's get back to what happened to you once you filled out this form establishing that you were a conscientious objector. What happened?
Well, I submitted it to my draft board. And I was expecting, after the college year ended, I was expecting to get my draft notice and be inducted, or else have my draft status change from the highest status to conscientious objector. But they never called me. And I wanted to just say a little bit about my friend Terry, because I think that was a more dramatic case. Terry graduated that year. He was almost immediately called for induction. He went to the induction center and refused to be inducted.
Had he filed the same conscientious objector
yes.
form as you had?
Yes, he'd gone through the same process, only he didn't get called. He went to the induction center, and they said took him in another room, gave him several opportunities to step forward and be inducted, and he said, "I'm a conscientious objector. I'm not going to do it." So they called the FBI. The FBI never came for the rest of the day. Then he was told the next day, go down to the FBI office and turn yourself in, you better do it. And he said, well, I certainly will. So he went down to the FBI office the next day, and they never, they thought he was enlisting for the Army. They were confused. And when they found out that he wasn't enlisting, he was a conscientious objector, they and told him over and over and over, you better enlist, and you better allow yourself to be inducted. And he said, I'm not going to do it. So then they arrested him and processed the papers and released him. He was anticipating going to trial, and the penalty would have been 5 years in federal penitentiary. And the Attorney General contacted the draft board and asked him, why didn't this person get the conscientious objector status? What was your decision based on? And they basically said, we've never given a conscientious objector classification. We're never going to. And, anyway, his beliefs aren't based on, aren't religious and foundation, and you know, we're not going to give it to him. And the Attorney General didn't feel like that was enough evidence to pursue the case, and so the case just never was pursued. So he felt like he was very lucky, but I think he's a real hero because he could have gone to prison for 5 years instead of going in the military for 2 years. I think that's a heroic effort.
And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Kali Muwandeshu. He has a different story to tell about what happened to him when he also was confronted with the choice of being drafted in the Vietnam War. It's going to be an interesting contrast into what were options were available for some and what options were available were not available for others. My name is Liz Brown. This is Wake Up Call. We're talking
You're
about
listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Morning, St. Louis, 27 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight is also slow. Eastbound 44 from Route 50, that's to Washington, Missouri at Highway 100, look for some delays. That's due to an accident, left lane's blocked. That's near mile marker 248. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Traffic's building at westbound 270 from Old Hall Ferry into West Florissant. Traffic's building from northbound 55 to Butler Hill. Northbound 270 between 44 and Big Bend, you can expect some delays as well. And westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some delays as well as westbound King Bridge traffic. It's starting to build from the gravel pit all the way into the landing. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, occasional rain is possible, high around 50 this evening, cloudy, 30% chance of rain with a low in the mid-40s. Moving on to Friday, look forward to mostly cloudy skies in the morning and early afternoon, then becoming partly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. For Saturday, cooler, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon, but the high will only be in the mid-40s. And Sunday, we'll go ahead and give you Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 47, both under cloudy skies. Liz Brown is out today. We are bringing you more of the best of the wake-up call that follows these commercials. We'll take another look at your ABC News, your local news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. Lots coming up. This is AM 9. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers. I'd like to invite you to listen to my radio show, Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. We have so much information to share with you about sightings and medical and scientific breakthroughs that we extended this program another night. Now we're on every Friday and Saturday at midnight. So do something different. Listen to a new kind of talk show, Uncommon Facts and Observations, every Friday and Saturday night at midnight, only on AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Now we bring you more of the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I still got mine just my way. Don't you come a messing with my world.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African. And loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. You can also email me at lizbrown, L-I-Z-Z-B-R-O-W-N, at sbcglobal.net. We are talking about conscientious objecting. We're talking about alternatives to military service. And right before the break, we talked to David Dodd, a conscientious objector in the Vietnam era who had the opportunity to have a conscientious objector, a counselor at his college, that he was able to utilize that during the Vietnam era. I'd now like to talk to another guest that is with us today, Kalimu Indeshu. Kalimu, your life experience with attempting to object to and resisting in being drafted into the Vietnam War was a little different experience, was it not?
Yes, it was. And it was different in the sense that back in the late 60s and, you know, early 70s within the black community, when we thought about, like, you know, how to resist going into the war and in the army, our thing was like either play crazy, play like you gay, you know, or be married with children or be in college. And I happened like to be in college up until August 1970 when I dropped out. And I was drafted and I was inducted at that point. And my thing was...
Well, had you heard about the conscientious objecting option?
Real vaguely, I'd heard about it, just vaguely. But my thing at that point was like, I didn't want to do no 5 years in federal prison. So my thing was like, okay, let's go on be inducted. And when I get to get in there, then go AWOL. But I thought I was going to like Fort Leonard Wood. But instead, they sent me to Fort Lewis, Washington, which was 2,000 miles away. So immediately my thing, like, what am I going to do? And so,
let me just interrupt just for a second. You felt that since you were from Missouri, since you were from St. Louis at the time, that if they took you to Fort Leonardwood, you would have familiarity
exactly.
with the area. So if you, when you bolted, you would know where you were going to go and have
right.
some plan.
That's right.
Seattle, Tacoma, Washington is a lot different than St. Louis, Missouri.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so, so there I was in Fort Lewis, Washington at the reception station. And so my thing, like, what am I going to do? So the next morning when they said, okay, we're going to get your hair cut and all that kind of stuff, I said, well, I'm not going to cut my hair, my afro. I'm not going to shave my beard. They said, well, you have to. I said, I'm not going to. I said, because it's against my religion. They said, what's your religion? I said, it's black nationalism. And it does not allow me to cut my hair or shave my beard. And so ultimately they also tried to fingerprint me, and I said, no, I'm not going to be fingerprinted because it's against my religion, black nationalism, which would not allow me to fight in a white man's war. So they called Washington, D.C., say, what's up with this right here? They said, well, no, there's no such religion. So I was, you know, I was told by the commander on the base, you know, he gave me a direct order to cut my hair, shave my beard, and be fingerprinted, and I refused. And stuff. And so I was facing like 10 years in prison. I was an inductee, a trainee, not one bit of, understanding of military life, but nonetheless, I was still facing 10 years.
Wait a minute, 10 years for what?
For refusing two direct orders from, you know, from my, the commander of the base.
But you hadn't, you hadn't been sworn in as a member of the military. You weren't even technically an inductee.
Yeah, yes, I was. You know, see, I stepped forward and, you know, like I said, I took the induction part.
Okay.
But
so
my thing was to go AWOL. That was my thing because all along I was trying to figure out, now, how am I going to get out of this Army thing? Because I figured that if I go AWOL, eventually they'll lock me up for a minute and then they'll let me go because I'm not able to adjust to military life, but it didn't go that way. Instead, they said, we're going to make an example out of him because we cannot have black men coming in talking about their religion is black nationalism, and that's why they're not going to fight in Vietnam. So they made an example out of me.
And how did they do that?
They court-martialed me, and I got 3 years initially in military prison, a bad conduct discharge. They cut that down upon review to 2 years.
Did you go to Vietnam?
No.
So they took you as an inductee straight into prison.
Right. Mm-hmm. Straight to prison. And so I ended up, doing, I think, about 9 months, and I was given excess leave. I believe that was in July 1972, and then they finally paroled me in October 1972. So the main thing was just like to make an example of me, but I was really not supposed to do any time because I knew nothing at all about, military life.
So what happened to you? Where did you do your time?
Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, disciplinary barracks.
So they moved you from Tacoma, from Fort Lewis.
Right.
They shipped you from Fort Lewis to Fort Leonardwood.
That's right.
And when you were in prison, did you see were there other people that were like you that were in jail for the same reason?
No, there were other people in jail, black prisoners in jail, specifically because over in Vietnam, they rebelled against the racism over there, and they went in there for like assaulting and actually wiping out entire chains of commands. It was a number of people that was there, because once they got over in Vietnam, they realized that, hey, this is not my enemy. My enemy is back in the United States. It's the white racist society.
So when you were, how old were you in when you were in prison?
I was 21 years old.
So you, and what? How old were you when you got out?
22.
So you served 9 months.
Right.
And when you were in there for 9 months, did you believe that you were going to get out in 9 months, or did you think you were going to have to do the full amount of the sentence?
Well, I was prepared to do the full time.
And that was 10 years?
Well, no, because like I say, they cut it down to 2 years.
Okay.
They cut it down to 2 years. So I was expecting to do the whole 2 years because my thing was like, okay, I've come this far and I know I'm not going to back down and say, hey, like, you know, I'm ready to go over to Vietnam.
Did you cut your hair? Did you cut your beard?
Ultimately, yes, I did all those things, you know, once I was locked up, because it was only a tactic that I was using at that time.
Mm-hmm. So when you were in jail, what was the reason that they let you out in 9 months? What did they tell you?
Well, it was based on, they let me out in 9 months because, well, they didn't really give a reason, but it's just that while it was being reviewed, you know, they, because I don't remember, it's been so long, but they reviewed it and they decided that they should let me out, as I said, on access leave, and then they finally, you know, granted me parole. And then, ultimately, they just reduced my sentence to the time that was served.
So in terms of what is on your record about this, what is on your record?
Bad conduct discharge.
And you never had to serve in the Vietnam War?
No, I didn't.
And when you went back home, how did your family receive you? How did your community receive you after you completed the 9 months?
My family, it was divided. My father was very disappointed. He said, well, I served. Why come you couldn't go and serve for your country? I said, because I didn't want to die for a country that's racist and stuff. Now, my mother and other folks, they supported me now. I came back in the community as a real hero. A lot of people, like, they admire me for my stand, because prior to going in there, I was, like, over at Forest Park Community College in the Association of Black Collegians, and there was a lot of us who said we were not going to go. And I, you know, I did not go, and said they was proud of the fact that, I've served prison time as opposed to going to Vietnam. And so I came out and immediately began to use that to organize, put together an organization that could fight, you know, for our rights. And so I've been doing it ever since. And so, I mean, it was kind of like weird how I got more involved. It was based on actually going to prison, because I met a lot of people from all over the country that made me realize, hey, this is a national struggle we're fighting, and we have no business over in Vietnam. We got a lot of issues here in the United States. That's what I learned while I was in prison.
And in terms of conscientious objecting, at any time during your prison time that you did for resisting being drafted into the Vietnam War, did you hear anything about conscientious objecting?
Well, see, I already knew a little bit about it.
You knew vaguely, but not enough to
right.
really. So mm-hmm. did you learn anything about it additionally from the tiny bit that you knew before you went in?
No, I didn't.
So even when you went back home and to your community after the 9 months or so you spent in jail, you still didn't have that information to bring to them as a choice.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Because the main focus became one of coming back out and getting even just more involved with the black community around the issues that were, burning at that particular time.
And now, just like you, just like David Dodd, are actively involved in the whole alternative to the military service.
Right. Not to the extent that he is, but through the Organization for Black Struggle and the Black Radical Congress, you know, we are very supportive and, you know, of that particular organization, as well as through our own efforts, because we think that the black liberation struggle inherently is anti-war, and that, you know, we need to get our young people to understand that our fight is not, you know, with peoples around the world, but with our own government.
And I want to switch the conversation to right now to Hilliard Phillips. You didn't conscientious object, and you also did not resist being drafted into the Vietnam. You actually served in Vietnam. Is that right?
Well, I served during the Vietnam era.
Okay.
I was also in Fort Lewis, Washington. I went AWOL for a couple of days. We were on alert for Cambodia. And all along, I did not want to go into the military because I was drafted. I didn't see the military as any type of hope for us to our people to get an education or to better themselves. We have each other. Our community is as strong as the people that do become educated, if that education is used within our community to build up our community.
Let's back up just a little bit to talk about what happened to you. You were drafted into the military.
Yes.
What happened to you when you were in the military?
Well, because of not wanting to be in the military, I did get in quite a bit of trouble in my independent struggles against not wanting to follow orders, not wanting to. It was that type of
resistance
all the time. I think that's my ancestors. That's waking up in a lot of us.
So in terms of the resistance that you engaged in, what were some of the things that you did?
Refused to follow orders. I refused to go on duties when they asked me. I refused to. A lot of times it had something to do with guard duty. I didn't want to do guard duty. I fought sometimes.
Did you know about the option of being a conscientious objector?
I did not know anything about conscientious objector. And today a campus group is...
Okay, wait a minute. We'll hold that thought.
Sure.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake-Up Call. We're talking about alternatives to military service. I am here with Hilliard Phillips, David Don, and Kelly Moon and Aishu. This is Liz Brown, the Wake-Up Call. We're taking a break. We'll be right back after this.
More of the best of the Wake-Up Call on the way. This is AM 920 WGMU.
The Longhorn Championship Rodeo, winner of more prestigious awards than any other rodeo ever. It's Total Rodeo with all six of the most popular contests. Contestants from across America and Canada rope and ride for world championship points. Big, bad, bonus bulls will be here too. They're ugly and they're mean. Over 2 hours of extreme competition and nonstop fun in the family arena with family-friendly prices. Friday is bargain night. All seats except VIP, $12 in advance. Saturday, free gift for the first 500 kids. Sunday, kids and seniors, half price. The award-winning Longhorn Championship Rodeo, January 12th through the 14th. Tickets at the family arena and Metrotix.
This New Year, put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
For those that should be heard, this is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Now back to more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Forgive them, Father, for they know.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Living My Life as an African and Loving It. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking to Hilliard Phillips, David Dodd, and Callie Moon Deshu about alternatives to military service, conscientious objecting. And I'd like to fast forward to the year 2005 and talk about what options are available to people, given the fact that we are at war and given the fact that there is no draft. And David, I'd like to come back to you in terms of what can a person do who is getting ready to turn 18 and is a young man and you have to register. What can a person do to be a conscientious objector in today's world?
Well, the person turning 18 needs to establish immediately a record of being a conscientious objector, and the one of the first steps would be on the registration card to write, "I am a conscientious objector."
And if I can underscore some of the things that you're saying, there is also a way for someone to register on the internet, and you recommend that people do not register on the internet because you cannot add in the conscientious objector status.
Yes, that's correct. Anytime there's a communication, it needs to be in writing. You need to keep photocopies and mail copies to yourself and so forth. And even before somebody turns 18, they can certainly start to establish a record if they feel like they're a conscientious objector at age 15 or 16
How
or 17.
How do they do that?
Basically just document activities that they've been involved in, whether it's church-related or peace activities, if they've attended a rally or a march, if they can some way
document a peace vigil. Oftentimes within the community of African descent, there are rallies that people get together and support peace and advocate for peace actions. Attending something like that would be something to add to your record. Is that correct?
Yes, it certainly would be. And if you could, I mean, anybody could write that down, but if you get a photo taken, that mm-hmm. might sound a little strategic, but or have certainly
a video.
Video or letters from people that attended there, or
newspaper articles, if there were articles that were printed about or published about the peace vigil.
Yes, keep a scrapbook, get letters from ministers and friends and other activists and so forth.
And just so that it doesn't sound so overwhelming or sound so specific, keeping a record, or sounds illegal, keeping a record is as easy as getting a notebook, writing notes in it.
Right.
Taking a photograph and taping it in the notebook. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It certainly doesn't have to be anything legal. It just is really a scrapbook of evidence of what you have done pertaining to peace.
Yes, I'd say, if you wanted to call that a journal and just mm-hmm. write your feelings about current activities and if you have beliefs that are religiously based or even if they're ethical or moral beliefs, just to record those and from time to time, have somebody read them and document them. You'd be developing a file and a list of references. All those things could be done far before the age of 18.
And you also need to make certain that when you're writing in your journal or if you're taking notes in your notebook or if you're compiling pieces of information that establish your connection to a belief system that includes conscientious objecting, that you date it.
Yes,
you
certainly.
Absolutely date it.
Certainly.
There is also churches or institutions that are already teaching nonviolence. So we are looking for churches, pastors. If they're interested, they can come over to the Julia Davis Library in the 4100 block of Natural Bridge tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have informational there.
And that's 4515 Natural Bridge.
Is that 4515?
Yes. And also what I want to kind of help tie together of the show that we've had this morning, we've had three different men talk about their experiences, but all of their experiences were different, but they were all connected in the sense that they all were conscientious objectors. One of our guests knew exactly what to be done because he had a counselor at his college that informed him about his option of being a conscientious objector. Our other two guests knew nothing about that, so that's why it is so important and it is such a great opportunity for people to find out about how they can be a conscientious objector and how they can serve as a counselor for a conscientious objector. And David, if you could talk a little bit about the counseling component, because you just invited the churches to come to this program at 7 o'clock tonight at the Julia Davis Library. What is a counselor, and can anybody be one?
Well, I was trained in by the Center for Conscience and War. It's a Washington, D.C. based organization, and I think Hilliard was also received the same training. It's a day-long training session, actually a day and a half training session. We learned all the rules about the draft laws and the procedures, and I really I feel like I'm very well trained. There, as Hilliard mentioned, there are 19 people that were trained in October, and about that many were trained the year before. So there are at least 35 or 40 or more trained counselors in the area.
And Hilliard, you would encourage anybody that wanted to do this to come and to learn how to participate and to be a counselor?
Yes, Liz. We need people from our community because our community will be the ultimate community that suffers from any war. There are, at this point, none of the jobs that they could promise us, the education they could promise us. Liz, we can't leave this on the back burner. This is something that has to be going forward. Those that are in our community, that say they represent our community, those are the people you will always see at the same place doing very little or nothing. And so this is a new day in St. Louis, and we hope that we can get as many people out tonight and also on the 29th of January at 1001 Park. We will also have another informational for those people not able to make it tonight. That will also be some training there with the Quakers organization.
454-0400 is our phone number. Yes, caller, you have a question or comment?
Yes, first I want to say hello to your guests, and I appreciate them being on, Liz. One thing I wanted to know, because with the standing policy that's in place in the military, with the don't ask and don't tell policy, is there any type of way that you could invoke a conscientious objector along that line? If you happen to be a gay man or woman and you don't want to serve in the military because of that standing policy, and also whether or not they've heard of anybody, because they're so, I guess, so trying to hold on to people now, have they heard about anybody trying to get out using the fact by telling somebody that they're gay? And just kind of comment on those two things.
Okay, and Callie Moo, you talked about that was one of that you felt that was one of your options back when you were drafted in the military. Is an assertion or a statement that you are homosexual going to keep you out of the military in today's Army?
I really can't answer that question. I have to defer that to one of the other guests.
According to our training, that's not going to work at all.
So.
It's just not
going to
work.
They did say that there were some things that would work. Obviously, if you had a serious permanent disability, you would be disqualified. And they talked about the physicals, that there's so many people overweight that as many as maybe 50% of the people that are inducted may fail the physical. So we talked about that. What would it take? How overweight would you have to be? And the trainer said probably not 20 or 30 or 40 pounds. They'd sweat that off of you in the boot camp. But you'd have to be maybe 100 pounds overweight. So if somebody wants to gain 100 pounds. But I'd really like to emphasize that the draft can change very quickly. All it takes is a request by the president and a majority vote in Congress, not even two-thirds. It doesn't require any national debate or anything. The draft board's in place. 11,000 volunteers for draft boards. Everything's there. A lottery could occur in 2 or 3 days.
It's about 10 days. They can pull up and start a lottery.
There's a 10-day model and a 6-month model.
So these are plans that are already in place.
Yes.
Oh, everything's ready.
Everything's ready.
Well, I want to thank you all very much for joining us, and I want to remind everybody again, if you would like to have some more of this conversation, there will be a public discussion tonight at the Julia Davis Branch.
You've been
Branch
listening
Library
to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
All over the world, Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sister?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
Congress is going to be about children.
Nancy Pelosi says the House will have a new focus on her watch. The California Democrat will make history today when she is sworn in as the first woman Speaker of the House. The Senate's also under Democratic control, which could mean some give and take. Make that a lot of give and take. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
Putting confrontation aside for now, President Bush took the high road in promises to cooperate with the Democratic-controlled Congress.
Members of the 110th Congress will take their oaths of office, and congratulate him.
Congressman Rahm Emanuel, the Democratic caucus chairman, also promises cooperation on the Democrats' issues.
We're going to cooperate to get a minimum wage increase done. We're going to cooperate to get a new energy policy done.
But a proposal by the president to send more troops to Iraq could face intense bipartisan anger. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
There's something that could upstage the new Congress, the new D.C. cherry blossoms. The famous flowers made an early arrival thanks to the much warmer than usual temperatures.
It's pretty. It's just the wrong time of year.
I'm allergic to them.
Yeah, they might not be around too long. It's supposed to get much colder next week. You've got mail. President Bush actually could have your mail if he wants.
When President Bush signed a postal law just before Christmas, he included a signing statement that gives the government the right to open your mail without a judge's approval. The new authority applies to exigent circumstances, the same reasoning the president used to justify warrantless wiretaps. The New York Daily News quotes one expert saying, "It takes executive branch authority beyond anything we've ever known." But the White House denies the president is claiming new power.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. What do you look for in a vehicle? Fuel efficiency is probably somewhere near the top of your list. That's what most people told a survey by accounting firm KPMG. Quality was a close second. 83% say that they're going to seriously consider a hybrid next time around. This is ABC News.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
The family of Steve Irwin is trying to make sure a video showing the final stingray blow that killed the crocodile hunter never gets on the Internet. Here's ABC's Chuck Severson.
The original video showing crocodile hunter Steve Irwin's fatal encounter with a stingray has been given to his family, says an Australian state coroner, and all copies made for the police investigation have been destroyed. Irwin was 44 when he died September 4th after being stabbed in the chest by a stingray's poisonous barb. He was at Australia's Great Barrier Reef making a documentary. Irwin's wife, Terry, says releasing the video would serve no purpose. His business partner, John Stainton, says he's seen the video only once and will not again, calling it horrible. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
We hear so much about what kids are doing that's wrong or unsafe when they're online, especially in internet communities like MySpace.com. So how about what they're doing right? Well, 90% of them use only their first names. That's certainly good. And many keep their pages completely off limits to anyone but their friends. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, St. Charles firefighters believe a burning candle caused a fire that claimed the life of an elementary school librarian. 29-year-old Natalie Lacey had been a librarian and teacher in the Francis Howell School District since 1999. Fire Department Captain Dan Casey says the fire broke out late Tuesday night when Lacey fell asleep with candles burning. Co-workers and students spent the day yesterday talking to counselors on hand to help them deal with the tragedy. The controversy continues for the mayor of Overland. Ann Persner is planning a legal battle to block her recall election, which is scheduled for April 3rd. The election board set the recall vote after certifying thousands of signatures on petitions and receiving a letter from Overland City Clerk. Persner's attorney says that 5 yes votes are required to pass an ordinance. It took almost 100 doctors and medical personnel to welcome quintuplets into the world 4 days before Christmas. Pete and Jenny Farrell of Danville, Illinois, are the proud parents of 2 girls and 3 boys, each weighing a little over 3 pounds. The babies are doing well, but are expected to stay in a neonatal intensive care unit at St. Louis Children's Hospital for several more weeks. Finally this hour, Torrey Holt may be undergoing knee surgery. Holt came up limping after a touchdown catch against Arizona on December 3rd and dealt with a nagging knee problem for the rest of the season. No official decision has been made. It would be the 2nd knee surgery for Holt in 8 seasons with the Rams. If Holt opts for surgery, he may miss the Pro Bowl next month. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant. Look for 2 left lanes blocked. That's due to an accident. And it's west of West Florissant. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on into the PSP. Look for no delays. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79. You've got some slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. And then again from Spady through McKnight. Look for some delays as well. Eastbound 44 from US 50 through Highway 100 in Washington. Look for an accident. Left shoulder is blocked. And estimated mile marker 248. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44 expects some delays. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Big Bend, you can expect some delays there as well. At Jeffco Boulevard and Route JJ, or 6167 at Route JJ, north of Route JJ, actually, there's a report of an accident. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through the landing, look for some delays as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your WGNU weather forecast for today. Occasional rain, high around 50. For this evening, cloudy, a 30% chance of rain, and near steady temps in the mid-40s. For Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high in the 50s. And then on Saturday, cooler, mostly cloudy in the morning and partly sunny in the afternoon with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 48 degrees and overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting overcast skies and 48 as well. Liz Brown is not in today. Instead, we have more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Well, well, well.
very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Now more of the best of the local call right here on AM 920.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We've got so much stuff to talk about. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net from Xenia to Zimbabwe. We got it all right here on the Wake Up Call. You can also check it out at Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. We have much business to tend to. So let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about sex. I continue to think that, well, let me put it this way. My goal for the year 2005 was to limit my jaw from dropping based upon the actions taken by this administration. And as we are just barely easing into the year 2005, I am now recognizing that I was a bit premature in my efforts to limit the number of times that my jaw drops, because this administration will apparently continue to do things that are mind-boggling.
and jaw dropping. As many of you know, this administration has, as one of its planks of its platform, pushed a abstinence-only agenda. Now, this is not to say that other presidents, as my understanding that Bill Clinton spent about $80 million also to teach abstinence-only. But the interesting component to this abstinence-only agenda by or put in place by this administration, the interesting component to that is there are several interesting components: the amount of money that has been spent and the information that has been promulgated. Not too long ago, a lonely man, Representative Henry Waxman. He's a lonely man because he's out there talking about issues that other people are not, whether it's what's happening in Ohio. He and John Conyers are talking about things that are going on in this administration. And he and Representative Henry A. Waxman released a report entitled "The Content of Federally Funded Abstinence-Only Education Programs." And you all need to know some of the contents of these federally funded abstinence-only programs so that your jaws can drop as mine have. Just when you thought that this administration could go no further in their agenda, there's evidence that shows you that, oh no, they're not nearly done yet. To facilitate this conversation and to give us the specifics of what this report written by Representative Waxman contained, I have Nancy Keenan, president of the National Chapter of NARAL, joining us from Washington, D.C. And I also have Paula Giannano, president of the St. Louis Chapter of Planned Parenthood. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Liz. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. This is an amazing report, and Paula, I'd like to start with you on a local tip. Tell us when you first heard about this report and what you discovered when you took your first look at it.
Well, the Waxman report came out just a little over a month ago in December, Liz, and it really took a close look at the content of most of the abstinence-only curriculum that's being taught in some of the public schools in the country. And the report really does not contain any good news. It examined the accuracy of these curricula, and it found that more than two-thirds of the curriculum in these programs distorted information, misled young people by giving them false information about abortion, about contraception, about the effectiveness of condoms. And also, much of the curriculum was designed to try to teach fear and shame for young people about their sexuality, about sexual health, and about their sexual lives.
And Nancy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Liz. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. When you took a look at this report issued by Representative Waxman, what were some of your immediate concerns?
Well, I think it just highlights some of the dangers posed to teens by abstinence-only programs, and just some of the stereotypes that reinforce male sexual aggression that we saw in it, and at the same time undermines girls' achievements. Saying that women gauge their happiness and judge their success by relationships where men's happiness and success hinge on their accomplishments. So there's, it's pretty frightening to us, and we know it doesn't work. And when you get into no mention of contraception, only to discuss failure rates, or wrong information, which we think is devastating, once you tell young people and
Well, let's back up just a little bit, if I may interrupt just for a second. When we talk about the information in this abstinence-only programs that were initiated by this administration, what is some of the wrong information that is being taught?
Well, one is that touching another person's genitals can result in pregnancy.
Wait a minute. Excuse me?
There is one of the abstinence curriculum only that states that by touching another person's genitals, it can result in pregnancy.
This sounds like discussions that are held by fifth graders on the playground.
Yeah, very much so. And again, so inaccurate and devastating to young people.
And what else? What else did some of the? What are some of the other inaccuracies?
Well, teaching that medical inaccuracies that mention that there is the importance of a pap smear in preventing cervical cancer. One of the curricula states that it's critical that students understand that if they choose to be sexually active, they are at risk for cervical cancer.
For cervical cancer?
Yes. So, I mean...
And when we talk about these programs, what ages of children are being given this information?
You know, most of the sex education age-wise depends on the grade of what is presented at which grade level. So what is called, you know, age-appropriate sex education. So probably a lot of this that I'm referring to is mentioned for teenagers in high school.
And Paula, what was some of the incorrect data that or information that was put in the program or in the report that you saw?
Well, to continue, inaccurate information about AIDS, HIV disease, and inaccurate information about the effectiveness and the importance of consistent and proper use of condoms if one is sexually active and wants to reduce and prevent the risk of HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. And again, these curriculum are really mostly based on sheer fear and shame. And they don't provide medically accurate information about the positive health benefits of using certain methods of contraception, barrier methods, certain aspects of sexual health, if and when teens become sexually active.
And if I could just say this, I'm not particularly proud of this, but I'm one of millions of Americans that get a lot of their information about what's going on politically from The Daily Show. And I saw a clip on The Daily Show that underscored for me how consistent the Republican Party is in their agenda. The chairman or the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Frist, was being questioned by George Stephanopoulos. And George Stephanopoulos was asking a medical doctor, Senator Frist, this Waxman report said that the abstinence-only programs, were teaching children that you could get AIDS from tears. And Senator Frist, a medical doctor, when asked by George Stephanopoulos, can you get AIDS from tears? He said yes, and then he backed up and said, "Well, it may be difficult, but yes."
Well, Riz, you know,
that points out the agenda that it goes all the way from the top and consistently stays the same.
I think this is one of the dangers when curriculum becomes fueled by ideology versus fact. What we know from a very recent and exhaustive comprehensive report is really two things that parents need to know. Number one, abstinence-only curriculum doesn't work. It has shown to have no positive impact on changing young people's attitudes, and it's shown to have no positive impact on changing teens' behavior.
Well, when you talk about an abstinence, when you say that, what kind of abstinence-only program are you talking about?
Well, the kinds of curriculum that were studied by the Waxman study and recently by the Zogby poll. At Planned Parenthood, what we promote and what we provide are abstinence-based programs. And in Missouri, we have a comprehensive sex education bill that we passed in 1999 that stresses abstinence but also says that sex education, if taught in the public school should be age-appropriate, comprehensive, and it should include, in addition to abstinence, information about contraception, about risk reduction, and it ought to also involve parents so that parents are knowledgeable about the curriculum and information. And if a parent chooses, they could elect to take their student out of the class. So our model program here in Missouri does all of the right things, and it really incorporates all of the best practices that we know of in terms of sex ed.
And Nancy, what is the what was the amount of money that was dedicated to these programs that put out so much misinformation?
Right. Under President Bush's, the abstinence-only funding has skyrocketed. It's about $170 million a year, and that reaches millions of our nation's young people. And just to reinforce what Paula was saying, I mean, this is an issue that when you give young people wrong information, they're not going to trust you on some other issues, and that's why it's so important and why we know that the life-saving information we give young people in a age-appropriate, sound manner is critical to these young people, and that we all agree parents are the first teacher of many of these issues, but some are uncomfortable and not prepared to provide, you know, the concrete information that these young people need at this time in their lives.
And all parents can't teach.
No, correct.
I mean, they don't have the skills to teach.
Right. And, you know, we all agree that, you know, some of the values should be taught at home, but the sex education is appropriately taught at school, because if it's medically accurate, that it's age appropriate, then we are providing young people some very important information as they come into those years, and that they have it as they grow up and decide to have a family.
And Nancy, what was some of the information that is being taught about condom use?
Yeah, I think that basically mostly the issue around condom is its failure, their failure rates. So when they talk about the use of condoms, it's about the failure rate around HIV or the failure rate around pregnancy. So again, a lot of misinformation there.
And what's the cost of teaching that, teaching simply the failure rate of a condom?
What's the cost? It's literally the cost of some young people's lives eventually. Because if they are not using condoms and are sexually active, the rate of HIV/AIDS, unintended pregnancies can change these young people's lives. One, with regard to HIV, that they could ultimately lose their lives. In the cases of unintended pregnancies, you know, just that one decision that maybe wasn't it was a foolish decision can change their lives dramatically. And that's why we believe that young people need the accurate information, sound information, medically accurate information, so they are taught to make sound and responsible decisions.
And we have to take a break. I'm talking to Nancy Keenan, president of the National Chapter of NARAL, joining us from Washington, D.C., and Paula Giannano, president of the St. Louis Chapter of Planned Parenthood. We are talking about a report that was recently released by Representative Congressman Henry A. Waxman, the content of federally funded abstinence only education programs, and the problems of the misinformation that contained in those reports. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake-Up Call. We will be back after this break, traffic break. Please stay with us. The number here is 454-0400. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can also email me at Liz Brown, LIZZBROWN, at sbcglobal.net. Stay with us. We'll be back.
You're listening to the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 of WGNU. Morning, St. Louis, 28 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and West Florissant, look for an accident. Two left lanes are blocked, and that's west of West Florissant. So watch out for that accident. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. You can expect delays. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. And then again, 141 through Mason Road. Look for some slow traffic as well. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. We've just got a report of an accident on the right shoulder. Eastbound 44 between 50 and Highway 100 out in Washington, Missouri. Look for a delay due to a traffic accident. Shoulder is blocked, and that's near mile marker 248. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270. Look for no delays. Northbound Route 3 approaching the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is clear. And westbound Martin Luther King Bridge from the gravel pit into Laclede's Landing. Looks like there's a slight delay. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Occasional rain today, high around 50. This evening, cloudy. Chance of rain, near steady temps around the mid-40s for Friday. Mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. Saturday, mostly cloudy, cooler, and then partly sunny by the afternoon with a high only in the mid-40s through the day. Currently, we have clouds and 47 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 47 degrees and overcast skies. Liz Brown is out today. Instead, we have more of the best of the wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Now we take you back to more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
In my faith, will see me through.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance us, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me at lizbrown, LIZZBROWN, at sbcglobal.net. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have a much business to tend to. We are talking about a report released by Representative Henry A. Waxman, a report entitled The Content of Federally Funded Abstinence-Only Education Programs. And we're talking about that report with Nancy Keenan, president of the National Chapter of NARAL, and Paula Giannino, president of St. Louis Chapter of Planned Parenthood. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I would like to talk about the religious component of the contents of this report. Nancy, what do you see religiously having an impact on some of the information that's being taught?
Right. It really does blur science and religion. The curricula uses religious views on when life begins as a scientific fact. So, for example, they say that the blastocyst is described as, quote, snuggling into the uterus at the beginning of a uterine implantation. And so, again, this blurring of science and religion and a biased view with regard to life as a scientific fact and how they portray that.
And when life begins.
Correct.
And, Paula, what impact does that type of blurring have?
Well, Liz, you know, at Planned Parenthood, we completely support the important role that churches, synagogues can play and really should play in the formation of young people's lives. Many churches and synagogues do provide sex education, and they have the right to do that using a combination of fact and combining religious teaching and values. It's really when that's blurred in the public schools and when tax dollars are used that we get really concerned about the blurring and the kind of moving in of ideology trumping fact and medical science. But we would support, and in fact our educators at Planned Parenthood work a lot with local churches and synagogues in providing comprehensive, responsible, factual sex education in those places of worship.
Information that was put out as fact contained in this report, some of it is just so absurd. The one piece of information that I received is that the report said that you can get pregnant by mutual masturbation.
Well, that is absolutely found in more than one of the curriculum that's being funded by our tax dollars. Again, $170 million just this year is being earmarked for these kinds of programs. And then on top of that, you know, parents and we as taxpayers need to know that states also have to match these federal funds. And that means that essentially no money is left and available to provide comprehensive and abstinence-based sex education in our public schools. And that's what Planned Parenthood promotes. It promotes abstinence-based, comprehensive, and responsible sex education. And one final point, not only do we support that, but it's what parents want. We know this from study after study after study, that overwhelmingly parents want their kids to have access to that kind of comprehensive curriculum, age appropriate, of course, and always, but that's what parents want.
And Nancy, two questions.
Yes.
Were parents contacted, or do you have any information of whether parents were contacted when these abstinence-only programs were designed, and who designed them?
No, I think that oftentimes, you know, so much of the curricula is developed in a local school district, and or in this case, when it's federally funded, it's developed, and then school districts are forced by receiving the money then to adopt the abstinence-based curricula and or don't receive their money around health enhancement, federal monies around health enhancement and other programs. So their hand is forced at the local level. This really is the intrusion of the federal government dictating often what is being taught in local schools and not reflective of the local parent input in this case. And again, back to what Paula was saying, these are tax dollars that are paying for a program that have been proven ineffective and irresponsible. And I think as taxpayers, that's something else, that it doesn't work. It's putting young people's lives at risk. And there's no evaluation process of these programs that where we can say, you know, stop the madness here with $170 million a year being spent on this abstinence-only program.
Well, who wrote these programs? Who put these programs together? Do we know?
Well, I think oftentimes that you have think tanks or groups of predominantly the right-wing fundamentalist religious organizations that are developing some of this curriculum, and then it finds its way into programs that are adopted in school districts and/or is forced there. So,
we don't know specifically who put these programs together.
Liz, we do. This is Paula. We do know, and yes, in fact, there are very conservative, oftentimes religiously motivated think tanks, organizations that write this curriculum, and they find themselves into these school districts across the country. I want parents in Missouri, your listeners, to know that we have a bill this year that's been introduced that would destroy Missouri's comprehensive sex education law that we helped get passed in 1999. It would take away all of the references to sex education in our public schools needing to be medically accurate, factually based, and include, when age appropriate, include chapters on contraception and risk reduction. So parents in the community need to know that this bill's been introduced, and it is, again, part of this wave sweeping the country to try to introduce ideology over science and to take away these really model comprehensive sex ed programs.
And Catherine, this $170 million that has already been spent and already used, that's our tax dollars, do we know how much money was spent to give to these think tanks, these entities, to craft this legislation, or craft these programs?
We don't know specifically how much money, but the Department of Education oftentimes, in what they give out to grants to various groups to develop curriculum, is what we see, again, additional dollars to develop.
So it's more than $170 million.
Yeah.
When all said and done, it's much more than $170 million.
Absolutely, because somebody's developing the curriculum that eventually finds its way across the country and into the classroom.
And they're not doing that for free.
Absolutely not.
Let's take a call here. Catherine, do you have a question for our guests?
Yes,
Nancy Keenan or Paula Giannino?
Yes, I have a question for Paula Giannino. I'm a healthcare provider here in St. Louis, and I understand a lot of my patients get medical information online through the CDC website. And I wondered if she could speak to whether or not the Bush administration has forced the CDC to alter its medical information.
Thanks for your question. Paula.
Thanks for your question. It's an excellent question. Yes, in fact, the Bush administration several years ago forced the Centers for Disease Control to take off of its national website information about condoms, their effectiveness, and the need for sexually active people to use condoms to try to stop the spread of HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. That, again, is another example of ideology trumping medical science and health care, and the government's really attempt to appease Christian conservative groups through these kinds of actions.
And we're going to take a break, folks. We're talking to Nancy Keenan, president of the National Chapter of NARAL, and Paula Giannino, president of St. Louis Chapter of Planned Parenthood. We are talking about a recently released report crafted by Representative Henry A. Waxman. The report was entitled The Content of Federally Funded Abstinence-Only Education Programs. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're taking a break. We will be back to your questions at 454-0400 or 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Now back to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We are talking to Nancy Keenan, president of the National Chapter of NARAL, joining us from Washington, D.C., and Paula Giannino, the president of the St. Louis Chapter of Planned Parenthood. And we're talking about the content of federally funded abstinence-only education programs, a report issued by Congressman Henry A. Waxman. Welcome back, and we're going to get straight to some of our callers here. Kevin, you have a question or comment for our guest, Nancy Keenan or Paula Giannino?
Both ladies, please.
Go right ahead.
Either one, it doesn't matter. How you do? I'd like to ask a question. Do you guys honestly believe that those the religious right, the politicians who are being funded by the religious right actually believe in religion? Because ever since after 1968, the birth rate of white women have went down drastically, especially after contraceptives like birth control pills. And I really believe if you take religion out of the equation and look at it on a secular issue, they're just worrying about the population changing, and they know abstinence doesn't work. So white women may have more children. Do you think that's a real reason why they're doing this?
Thanks for your call and question. Is there another agenda other than what appears to be the religious agenda on this?
You know, it's hard to say what any particular person or politician believes, but I think we've seen pretty consistently across this administration the infusion of very religious fundamentalist ideology that is trumping science, often trumps common sense, and so we are seeing it, and we've seen it in both in Congress, we've seen it at the White House level, and when money talks, they actually are putting money behind some of the ideology, and again, putting aside, you know, sound science and information that should be provided to young people.
Well, I'd like to ask both of you a question, and this is kind of off topic, but not really. There's been a lot of talk since the results of the last election about where the Democratic Party is going. And part of that talk has included a discussion about the Democratic Party using the issue of, or allowing itself to be defined by the issue of pro-choice. There was a United States senator, I believe her name escapes me right now. It's not Barbara Boxer. It's the other female senator.
Feinstein,
who has gone so far as to suggest that we need to pursue not pro-choice but pro-life people into the Democratic tent. And to facilitate that, she has made the argument that the head of the DNC should be a Democratic congressperson who is adamantly pro-life. How do you feel about that direction that some are arguing that the Democratic Party move in?
Well, it was actually Congresswoman Pelosi. It wasn't.
Oh, was it Pelosi? Okay.
It was Pelosi that I believe got behind Mr. Romer for the Democratic chair. But, you know, we believe that the Democratic Party, as it historically has, should openly embrace their core beliefs in the right of privacy, the equality of women, and proudly stand by a woman's right to choose. And so this debate, and I think falsely so, where they believe that this election turned on the issue of choice is inaccurate. It is wrong. The fact of the matter is, I think Democrats need to do a better job of standing up for a woman's right to reproductive choice, right to privacy. And it strikes at the heart of every American.
How problematic is it to have as the one of the leading decision-making point man for the Democratic Party to be a person that is pro-life? Paula.
Well, I think that the majority of Americans certainly have weighed in on this issue. They do not want elected officials, politicians, to intrude in the personal and private aspects of our lives and in our sexual and reproductive decisions. You know, being pro-choice incorporates people who have very, very fervent religious beliefs about sex and sexuality and parenting. It really incorporates people who are also possibly personally opposed to abortion. And so I think that these terms are not helpful. They create false kinds of divisions. We know that many, many people in the Republican Party support reproductive privacy, and we know that the majority of Americans do as well. This is a core, we believe at Planned Parenthood, a core and basic part of our democracy, that government should not interfere with these most personal and private aspects of our lives, and we know that the majority of Americans believe the same. And so we think a lot's at stake here on this issue, and this issue shouldn't define one political party over another. It's really a core principle about having government stop interfering in these personal and private aspects of our lives.
And Nancy, I'm going to go back to the comment that you made about the Democrats not fighting on this particular issue. That's really one of the criticisms that's been leveled at the Democratic Party throughout the presidential race.
Right, and I think that right now, given as though they are in the process of choosing a new chair for the party, that it's critical, as we have discussed, that folks have their voices heard, that the Democrats have historically in their platform embraced the core beliefs of the right of privacy and the equality of women to make reproductive choices. They have also embraced that it is a broad range of reproductive options that are included in healthy childbearing, contraception, adoption, abortion, and that the Republican Party, it shouldn't be a partisan issue. It shouldn't be that government is not involved in these issues. But right now we seem to be in a heated battle with the Republican Party consistently attacking the right of women to make those personal, private decisions free from politicians and government interference. And at the same time, Democrats need to do a much better job at embracing their platform, which is standing up for a woman's right to choose and all of the range of reproductive options.
Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid.
Exactly.
Nancy Keenan, president of the National Chapter of NARAL, and Paula Giannino, president of the St. Louis Chapter of Planned Parenthood, thank you so much, both of you, so much
thank
for
you.
Joining me on the
Wake-Up
Call. Take
Thanks,
care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is the Wake-Up Call. We will be back after the news and the Healthy Family Report.
Stick around for more of the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
revolution in the air.
Stick around for more Best of the Wake Up Call following the top of the hour. ABC News, your local news, your weather, and your traffic. And we'll have more of the Best of the Wake Up Call. right here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. For the first time in 12 years, the Democrats will take control of Congress today with an historic boss in the House. More from ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol.
The first woman Speaker of the House promises we'll all see the difference.
We've waited over 200 years for this time to come.
Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi and her party have set out ambitious goals for their first 100 legislative hours, among them raising the minimum wage, expanding stem cell research, tightening ethics rules, but a looming battle over more troops for Iraq threatens to overshadow everything. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
That's not the only big change today in Washington. National Intelligence Director John Negroponte is going into his old line of work. As a diplomat, he'll be the new Deputy Secretary of State. That is some experts scratching their heads.
It's an extraordinary thing when the most important man in America for intelligence and the war on terror, a man whose position was created to coordinate the war on terror, resigns to be the number two man at the State Department.
And Professor Samuel Popkin with the University of California, San Diego, Political Science Department. President Bush can now legally open any of your mail without your permission and without a judge's okay.
A White House spokeswoman is claiming this is no change, that the government has always had the power to open suspicious mail in an emergency. But civil liberties advocates say the post office should simply stop delivery of suspicious letters and get a court order, not open the mail without one.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Old man winter has settled in for a spell. In the West, it's still colder than usual, which is not helping with the snow removal process across the Plain States. On the East Coast, it's an early spring. The high today in New York City, 59 degrees, Washington, 61, and Richmond, 67. A high school student from Tacoma, Washington, due in court today. The 18-year-old accused of fatally shooting a fellow student yesterday at school. ABC News.
Class, welcome to Organization for Beginners. You're here to be more productive. This is a folder. What are some things you can put into folders?
Ooh, expense reports.
Mm-hmm.
My wine cellar?
Unicorns.
I'm going to recommend a tutor for you two. Next are binder clips. I'll squeeze them open. Mr. Shaw, take the binder clip off your nose.
I sound funny.
How do I always get stuck with the executives? Class, you know what? Just go into Office Max. They've got everything you need to get your business life in order. Office Max will help you shape up.
My cough isn't just a cough. I've got a stuffy nose, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
I have a cough, and I have to hit the road, so I take my Robitussin with me. Robitussin cough gels.
I've got the flu, fever, body aches. That's why Robitussin cough, cold, and flu is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
Rebecca Markham is about to give birth to her second child. January 16th is her due date, but this pregnancy almost never happened due to Hurricane Katrina. Here's ABC's Bob Schmidt.
When Hurricane Katrina struck, the power went out at a New Orleans fertility clinic where hundreds of couples had stored frozen embryos, including the ones created from one of Rebecca Markham's eggs and sperm from her husband, Glenn. Temperatures soared inside the clinic. Mrs. Markham alerted rescuers who floated the embryos to safety before they had a chance to thaw out. Her embryos were implanted. Rebecca Markham is due to give birth in a couple of weeks. She and her husband don't know whether they'll have a son or a daughter, but if it's a girl, they say she will not be called Katrina. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
It's smaller than a bread box. That's about all police in Freehold Township, New Jersey, are saying about a metallic object that crashed through the roof of a house yesterday. It is about the size of a golf ball. It weighs about as much as a can of soup, and they don't think it came from a plane. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a court case is underway over the financing of Missouri schools. Hundreds of various school districts are suing to get more money from the state. The plaintiffs say the issue is equality and that the current funding system is unequal and underfunded. The plaintiffs are seeking to have the funding system declared unconstitutional, which could mean at least $1 billion in additional state revenue for schools. The state warns that if it is forced to pay, the move could break the state's budget. The St. Louis region has received a mediocre grade in a new report. The study ranked how well firefighters and police officers from departments across the region and the nation can communicate with each other. The Department of Homeland Security graded St. Louis on a summer drill that took place at Busch Stadium. Nick Gregnani, executive director of the St. Louis Area Regional Response Team, said that the region ranked right in the middle of the 75 areas graded. An injured Belleville police officer is back home. Sergeant John Bruff was released from St. Louis University Hospital last Thursday. Bruff was shot in the face attempting to arrest a double murder suspect in November. Bruff was initially released from the hospital before Christmas, but had to go back in a few hours later. Finally this hour, the Blues have a chance to match an NHL record tonight when they face the Blackhawks at Scott Trade Center. In 11 consecutive games under new coach Andy Murray, the Blues have not allowed a first-period goal. If Chicago does not score in the first period tonight, the Blues will tie the league record of 12 straight games set by Los Angeles in 1974-1975. This will be the Blues' second straight game against the Blackhawks, who beat the Blues 4-1 on Tuesday night in St. Louis. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and West Florissant. Look for two left lanes blocked due to an accident. That's just west of West Florissant. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street on the, into the PSP. Look for some delays. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic out there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. You've got slow traffic. Northbound 55 is crawling from Arsenal all the way into 44. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Big Bend. Expect delays on either side of the 44 interchange. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for an accident right at Spady on the right shoulder. And eastbound 44 between 50 and Highway 100 out in Washington. Look for delays due to an accident. The shoulder is blocked. That's near mile marker 248 at Villa Ridge. That's reported earlier by MoDOT. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into Laclede's Landing. Look for some slow traffic there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has, well, let's take a look at this hour's weather. This hour's weather, today occasional rain, high around 50 this evening, cloudy, a chance of rain, near steady temps around the mid-40s. For Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high only in the upper 50s. Then on Saturday, cooler, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 48 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 48 degrees as well under cloudy skies. Liz Brown is out today. Instead, we have more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Revolution in the air, tell me brother, how can you sustain? truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Stick around for more of the best of the local talk on your way right now.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the anthem, brother. Help me
listen. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We've been talking about many things this morning. We started off the show talking about the extraordinary unemployment, despite the fact that we're seeing reports that the economy is picking up. We still have more people, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.6 million people, who've run out of their unemployment insurance benefits. And that's the highest number in 30 years. Despite the fact that we are seeing reports on the front pages of newspapers that the economy is getting better. And one of the things that I think that we need to look at when we are assessing the state of this country, where we are economically, we have to look at whether or not people can get housing. Healthcare and housing are the two factors that you really have to look at to evaluate access to healthcare, access to housing, to evaluate how healthy a nation is. So we're going to talk about the health of this nation as it pertains to our housing this morning with Linda Couch. She is the Deputy Director for the National Low Income Housing Coalition. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Linda, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Very good. Linda, I am looking at a bunch of numbers and a bunch of stats about how well we have done as a country with housing purchases, that housing, home ownership is up. Is looking at home ownership a good measure of determining our housing health?
Well, we would not say that that's true. We think that certainly looking at home ownership rates is one measure, but fully a third of the country rents. And
what's the number? What is it, about 36 million?
About 36 million. And so we think it's important, especially when we're talking about low-income people and more critically, extremely low-income people, people earning around the minimum wage or less, that we look at the renter households in this country and what renters are up against.
Well, how do you begin to evaluate that? What are some of the calculations that you have put together to be able to evaluate?
Well, for example, we have a recent report and kind of start at the beginning. How many renters are there? What are their median incomes? You break it down by county and by metropolitan area all across the country, and you look at what the rents are in those individual cities and counties. And then you're able to kind of pull back and compare what people are earning versus what it actually costs to rent an average apartment in those areas. And then what you come up with is how many people are not able to afford an average rental apartment, and if they were to be able to afford it, how much of the minimum wage would they have to earn, how many hours a week would they have to work, those sorts of things.
So where does the national housing wage come into play? What is that?
That is how much per hour. That's a number that the Low Income Housing Coalition calculates. It's how much per hour does any worker have to earn to be able to afford the average rent in their city or their county.
Let's start with, because it's broken down into, from one, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. are included in this, but
right.
but you broke it down by state. Let's start with the state of California.
Sure.
And the state of California ranked 51. Is that
okay.
Correct? Talk to us about what the housing wage is in California.
Well, overall across the whole state in California, someone would have to earn $21.24 an hour to be able to afford to rent the average two-bedroom apartment. And two bedrooms are the most ubiquitous. They're the most two-bedroom. Most apartments are two-bedroom units. So you'd either have to work earn $21 an hour, or you'd have to work, well more than 100 hours.
How does subsidized housing factor into this? Because wasn't subsidized housing created to get at this gap?
Well, it was, and it started to kind of eat away at the gap and make progress. And then beginning in the late 70s, the country really started ratcheting down the amount of money it puts toward housing assistance, and that is public housing, or people, a lot of people know about Section 8 rental assistance vouchers. And so while there still is that assistance out there, the number of new families that have access to those types of assistance every year is very, very small.
So California, actually the District of Columbia is higher than California.
Right.
And that's $22. A person would have to earn $22.83 an hour to have access to a two-bedroom, the average two-bedroom house or home in Washington, D.C.
Right. Or they'd have to work 138 hours a week at the district's minimum wage of $6.60 an hour, which isn't really a possibility, obviously.
If these numbers are correct, then where do people live? If they clearly they can't afford to live in these homes, where do they live? What kind of housing do they live in?
Right. Well, you know these people, and I know, people who can't, who are in unaffordable housing situations. They live further away from their jobs. than probably any, you know, reasonable lifestyle would like. They live in housing that maybe isn't big enough for them and their families. They live with relatives. They live in housing that perhaps is substandard. They live in housing that is substandard, but because they know they can't afford a different place, a better place, they don't fight those substandard conditions for fear of losing the little that they have.
Have things changed for those that are renting these properties? How has their income fared? Are rental rates up?
Oh, right. Rental rates are definitely up, and they continue to outpace wages. As you know, the increases in rents continue to outpace any increases in wages. I heard it, you know, your introduction that this morning you were talking about unemployment and, you know, what is this country grappling with the number of people who are actually unemployed. And the fact is that people who are fortunate enough to be employed are working under federal minimum wage guidelines that are incredibly outdated.
When was the last time that we had an increase in the federal minimum wage, and what was it?
Oh, that's a good question. I want to say, you know, sometime 5 or 6 years ago, and even then it was only maybe 50 cents or so.
And what is the federal minimum wage?
The federal minimum wage is $5.15 an hour.
So $5.15 an hour.
So for a city like St. Louis, we calculate that to afford the average one-bedroom apartment, and these are excluding all the luxury units and excluding all the substandard units, but the average one-bedroom unit, you'd have to earn at least $11.42 an hour to afford the average one-bedroom unit in the city of St. Louis.
And what does the average one-bedroom unit go for in the city of St. Louis?
Well, let me see. According to our calculations, well, I don't have that right here. I'm sorry, Liz.
Okay. Well, give us a state that you do have the number for, just so that we can get an idea of what the average rates are going for and in average rental rates are going for.
Sure.
Because the fact of the matter is that what you all are reporting is that the national housing wage outpaces the median hourly wage in the United States constantly. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right, constantly. There's no place where you can afford one and not the other. In St. Louis, the average one-bedroom, according according to HUD, the average one-bedroom rents for about $594 a month.
$594 a month.
That's right.
What I think is interesting is that even in with your numbers of the highest, the most expensive, the place where you'd have to earn the most money
right.
per hour is the District of Columbia, and the place that you'd have to earn the least amount of money is Puerto Rico, and even that is more than the minimum wage. That's $7.22 an hour.
That's right. It's a travesty in this country of such wealth that we're not even able to pay ourselves enough to afford decent housing. There are 95 million people in this country, who are unable to afford housing, who have housing problems, who are paying more than they could afford. And so we know that those families are making sacrifices either by having to move a lot, you know, in search of cheaper housing or adjusting their food budgets or their health care budgets. Those sorts of things.
How do you calculate in the cost of utilities?
Utilities are included in this. These are what HUD calls gross rents. And so the number, say, of $594 for the average one-bedroom in St. Louis includes what it costs for rent and utilities. And according to HUD, actually according to Congress, someone's rent becomes unaffordable when they're paying more than 30% of their monthly income toward that gross rent.
What's the solution to this, Linda?
Well, there are a couple different solutions. One is to recognize that the private market is not meeting the needs of extremely low-income people. And then at that point, we can move into a discussion about what are the solutions that the public sector can bring. And one of the most critical ones is a steady and marked increase in federal subsidy. We know that housing vouchers can work. We know that public housing...
What's the evidence that housing vouchers work? There are criticisms of people that when we allow for, when we have Section 8 housing, then property values in the neighborhood goes down because we have that. That's the criticism that's leveled. What do you respond to that?
Well, research has debunked those stereotypes.
It really depends on the landlord, doesn't it?
It depends on the landlord. These are, people who get vouchers because of federal guidelines are screened and screened and screened. These are people who have credit checks, who have background checks, who have criminal checks, who go through an incredible amount of screening by the Housing Authority, which administers the vouchers. And where you see community opposition to things like low-income housing or vouchers is really a lack of understanding of who participates in the program and what that housing looks like and how it's actually managed and run.
So we have a discussion about the private sector's role, then we have a discussion about what our government can do, what the citizens can do to step into this. And so what are some of the things that we can do from a public sector?
From a public sector, we can increase the number of new vouchers that are out there. For the last couple of years, the people who currently have rental assistance vouchers have been lucky to keep them. We have not had any discussion at the federal level of putting new vouchers on the streets, and that's what we need to start doing. We need to make sure the people who currently have vouchers get to keep them as long as they need them, and that we get new vouchers on the streets, upwards of, let's start at $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, $250,000 a year, and then we'll see some inching away at the nation's housing problems. Other things that need to happen are new production. There's massive new investment in publicly subsidized units that remain in place for 50, for 60 years, so that there's every community has some stock of affordable housing.
And if people want to get a copy of your report, where would they go?
Sure. Our report in its entirety, so for every state and every county and every city, is available at our website. It's www.nlihc.org. And people can download the whole thing, or they can download, just one city or one whole state.
Linda Couch, Deputy Director for the National Low Income Housing Coalition, thank you so much for joining us here on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Happy New Year.
You too. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back at you after this break. Stay with me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
You are listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and West Florissant. Look for an accident. It's cleared at West Florissant. Traffic remains backed up due to police remain on the scene at the last to recreate the accident there. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Spady. Look for an accident. Right lane is closed around the exit lane of Spady. Northbound 270 from 44 through Big Bend. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79. Look for some delays as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic going on there. Northbound Route 3, that ramp from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through the McLeod's Landing. Look for some delays basically as the final push of the morning rush hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast. Occasional rain day, high around 50 for this evening. Look for cloudy, 30% chance of rain with a low in the mid-40s. For Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning and afternoon. Partly sunny towards later the end of the day, high in the upper 50s. For Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy. It's partly sunny in the afternoon with a high in the mid-40s. Currently, we have 47 degrees and rain. Lambert Field is also reporting 47 degrees and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call that's up on the way. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
First time ever in the St. Louis area, it's not just another rodeo. It's the Longhorn Championship Rodeo, winner of more prestigious awards than any other rodeo ever. It's Total Rodeo with all six of the most popular contests. Contestants from across America and Canada rope and ride for world championship points. Big, bad bonus bulls will be here too. They're ugly and they're mean. Over 2 hours of extreme competition and nonstop fun in the family arena with family-friendly prices. Friday is bargain night. All seats except VIP, $12 in advance. Saturday, free gift for the first 500 kids. Sunday, kids and seniors, half price. The award-winning Longhorn Championship Rodeo, January 12th through the 14th. Tickets at the family arena and Metrotix.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Now back to more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. You got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I still got mine.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, I will have joining me from Hawaii, Attorney Eric Seitz. He is an attorney who represents a soldier who has sued our good government over the backdoor draft policy. Eric Seitz represents David Miyasato, a soldier who has filed this lawsuit. And to be sure, everyone has heard about these stories. This is going to be in the next hour. But by now, I'm sure everybody has heard stories about the backdoor draft. The argument is that this is a draft that has been put in place to make certain that the United States military is staffed as it continues its war in Iraq. What is exactly a backdoor draft? Well, they've extended people's stay of duty. They have refused to allow people to retire. They have given petty criminals a choice between jail time or joining the army. And more recently, the latest effort, the latest act of a backdoor draft is calling people up, demanding that they report to duty years after they have been honorably discharged. And in the case of David, who is going to be joining us in the next hour, he had been retired for 13 years. Do you hear me? Retired for 13 years. He had also served a tour of duty during Desert Storm. And because David was a skilled truck driver, the military decided to call him back. His report date was the month of November, on Veterans Day. So, here we have a soldier that has served honorably for 13 years. Or has been out of the military, I'm sorry, for 13 years. Was honorably discharged. And he was called back because he was a truck driver 13 years ago for the military. If they're going to call people back, why don't they call everybody back that served? Why don't they call everybody back? And for those of you that don't understand how the military works, if you're given a date to report to duty, even if there was a mistake, once you report back, you are at the beck and call of the military. So even if they've made a mistake in calling you back, you are theirs until they figure out the mistake. Is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You may not know about this particular case because it's not just the Davids out here. There's a 19-year-old Californian by the name of Jamal Posley. Choices that many people make. He wanted to go to college, but his financial situation did not allow him to do that. So he signed up for the Army after a recruiter told him how wonderful it was going to be and all the advantages that he would have. As soon as he signed the papers, the Army moved to have him graduate early and transfer out of the School of Justice where he was, Social Justice, where he was enrolled. After his graduation, he was shipped off to Iraq. He served a year. He was allowed to come back to the Bay Area because his mother had terminal cancer. They gave him a few weeks, the Army did, to get his affairs in order. One of those weeks that he was there tending to his mom, his 18-month-old baby brother, was stabbed to death. So now at the same time, this young man had to deal with his mom who was dying and the death of his infant brother, the murder of his infant brother. Did the military say, you know what, deal with that? No, the military said, come, so? Come back to the front lines. Now, what is interesting about this particular, Jamal's particular story, Mr. Posley's story, is that when his friends in the social justice school found out about what was happening to him, they began to kick up some dust. They began to alert some people. And how did our good government respond to that? The Army raided his house, took away cell phones and computers, and he has been ordered to keep quiet about his ordeal. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. We're going to take a break. We'll get back to your calls after the break. Stay with me.
You're listening to the best of the wake up call right here on AM 920 WGN.
At noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one. It is high!
Hi, I'm Gary Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Stick around for more of the best of the Wake-Up Call, like this segment right here on AM 920 WGNU.
He filed a federal lawsuit in November seeking a...
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I enjoyed your guest. I just wanted to say that the housing situation in most cities and even some of the rural areas is a critical situation, especially for the middle class and lower class citizens, financially speaking. And we need more groups and organizations that can help people and channel them into the opportunities that are available. Specifically, I would say that Salvation Army does a good job of that, in the homeless shelters. They help the people get the Section 8 numbers that they need. They help them get the supplies that they need to get back into housing. They give them time to actually search out housing and give them leads, help them apply for the federal housing that's available, like housing in the lotteries. And that's been my experience, that these types of groups are helping. But I think, like, City of St. Louis could do a whole lot more in that area in helping people to get the housing that they need and help them renovate the houses that are here that are standing vacant. There should be a lot more programs to help people take advantage of these opportunities. And for the guests you have coming up, I will say that over the holidays I heard one of my friends told me her brother-in-law was missing for a couple of days because he was a National Guardsman. And he had been inactive for 2 years. Mm. And he got a notice that he is to show up in Baghdad. And he was missing. His wife said she didn't know where he was. He just disappeared after the notice. But he finally came back, and he's already gone.
All right. Thank
you. Take care. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake-Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I have some private information that I need to get from you. That I need to ask you. I didn't want to be aired. It's a legal matter.
Okay. Well, you'll have to call the station at 454-6660.
454-6660?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609. Is my fax, and if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1 877-920-WGNU. And don't forget that we we are always broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So you can always get to us there at www.wgnu.net or go to lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to us. We have much to talk about. This is one of the stories, I think, that if I may get into the predicting business, is going to be the story of the year for 2005. And that is this backdoor draft. And when you juxtapose that backdoor draft, the making people plead to get out of jail, and the only way they can get out of jail is if they sign up for the military, going and pulling people out of their homes after being honorably discharged for over a decade, finding 60-year-old people, 70-year-old people, 50-year-old people, 50-year-old women with that are deaf in one ear, deaf in one ear. This is the army that we're being pulled together, that's being pulled together and used by this military. Can't anybody feel me on this? As we look at the opulence, as we look at the $50 million inauguration that is fixing to take place in our capital, this is so much more than unseemly. We have millions or hundreds of thousands of people who've either lost their lives or their world due to the tsunami. We have millions of people in the Sudan that are suffering. We have 36 million people that are unemployed, lost their unemployment benefits because they ran out of unemployment benefits. And mind you, unemployment benefits are not fixed. This government can extend any unemployment benefits that they want to. We have unavailability of housing. We have schools that are falling down around our children's ears. We have soldiers in Iraq whose families, who are really supporting the troops, are on food stamps. They don't have housing to come onto the bases. They don't have food for their family. They don't have clothes for their backs. They're working in minimum wage jobs. That's here in the United States. When you take into consideration how their loved ones are living in Iraq, we have soldiers that don't have bullets. We have soldiers that don't have armor. We have soldiers that don't have the fundamentals that they need to survive a war that our government put us in. And we have a government that, in the midst of all of that horror, in the midst of all that suffering, in the midst of all of that pain, in the midst of all of that needless suffering that people are going through, this administration says, you know what? Let's have a party. And let's have a big one. Let's have a $50 million party. Bill Clinton says, ain't nothing wrong with that. George Bush's father says, that this $50 million for this party wouldn't do anything for the people of Sri Lanka. Is it just me, or is the world gone mad? Has the world gone mad in the midst of heretofore unprecedented human suffering? Our government says, let's put on a $50,000 party. And we ain't shamed. You're on the wake-up call.
The veteran you mentioned, sister, who had done a year in Iraq, and whose 18-month-old brother had been killed.
No, 18-month-old. Yeah, brother, yeah.
Yeah, had been killed, and his mother had died.
No, his mother is dying.
Dying, yes. And after a year in Iraq, if this is not indicative of how desperate these people are, any fool can tell that this young man is traumatized in the highest sense of the word. This is just an indicator of what's to come. This administration knows it can't mention the word draft, and they are at a loss for how they're going to continue these wars because they're running out of soldiers. Guys are going back doing a second 18-month stint.
All right. Thank you, Hassan. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, we're listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Stick around for the top of the hour news, weather, and traffic. That's up next.
Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll have that following ABC News, your local news, your traffic, and your weather right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll be back with more of the best of the wake-up call.
matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi says it's about time.
America's working women, or women working at home, whatever women choose to do, that they have friends in the capital of the United States.
The California Democrat will be sworn in today, the first female Speaker of the House. Her focus will be the future. The Democrats are also taking control of the Senate, and they're all ready to go.
Democrats have laid out an ambitious agenda for their first 100 hours of legislation. Cutting interest rates for student loans, passing the remaining 9/11 Commission recommendations, increasing the minimum wage, and federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, a measure President Bush vetoed last summer.
ABC's Jake Tapper in Washington. President Bush, you've got mail. Actually, he might have your mail. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
This is a pattern which has drawn fire. The president signs a bill but issues a statement declaring he will interpret the new law in a way Congress might not have intended. In the name of national security, he is claiming the power to open suspicious mail without a warrant, just as the administration wiretaps some terrorist phone calls to the United States. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The unemployment lines were longer last week. The Labor Department says 329,000 newly unemployed workers applied for benefits. That's well above what analysts were expecting. Well, the time to find out just what your auto insurance policy doesn't cover is when you have an accident. Over a third of all drivers don't have comprehensive coverage, which would include a common type of crash like you just heard, which happened to be a deer running into a car. Bottom line, check your policy. This could be one hot year, the hottest on record. British scientists say there's a 60% chance that we will break the old record set in 1998. They blame El Nino and greenhouse gases. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 20 points and the NASDAQ up a fraction. This is ABC News.
Class, welcome to Organization for Beginners. You're here to be more productive. This is a folder. What are some things you can put into folders?
Oh, expense reports.
Mm-hmm.
My wine cellar?
Unicorns!
I'm going to recommend a tutor for you two. Next are binder clips. I'll squeeze them open. Mr. Shaw, take the binder clip off your nose.
I sound funny.
How do I always get stuck with the executives? Class, you know what? Just go into Office Max. They've got everything you need to get your business life in order. Office Max will help you shape up.
My cough isn't just a cough. I've got a stuffy nose, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
I have a cough, and I have to hit the road, so I take my Robitussin with me. Robitussin cough gels.
I've got the flu, fever, body aches. That's why Robitussin cough, cold, and flu is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
Well, it's been ugly, and it's getting uglier. The boss is now getting involved. ABC's David Blaustein with the latest on the ongoing feud between Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell.
If Barbara Walters privately told Donald Trump that she regrets hiring Rosie O'Donnell, that's not what she's saying publicly.
I have never regretted, nor do I now, the hiring of Rosie O'Donnell.
O'Donnell is currently on vacation, but on Wednesday's The View, Walters spoke out for the first time about the nasty war of words between Trump and her show's moderator.
I want you to know how good Rosie has been for The View.
In the meantime, on Wednesday and Thursday's Entertainment Tonight and The Insider, Trump will continue to insist that Walters doesn't like O'Donnell.
She said, Donald, I got to put up with it. I can't stand it. I hate it.
David Blaustein, ABC News.
As far as California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is concerned, every child in his state should have health insurance, even the ones who are not there legally. That's just one of the new initiatives the bodybuilder turned actor turned governor plans to put into action as he begins his second term in office. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the Missouri Supreme Court is considering a lawsuit regarding lead paint. After city resident Renita Hightower had her home tested for lead, the city helped her fix the problem and even paid for new windows using federal funds. The city believes paint companies should be partly responsible for what they call a public nuisance. An appeals court is sending the issue to the state's highest court, saying the existing law affecting the case should be re-examined. A hearing date has not yet been set. A Cahokia man is dead after a single car accident on the Poplar Street Bridge. Illinois State Police say 34-year-old Mario Allen was driving westbound on I-64 early yesterday morning when his 1995 Ford Mustang began swerving and struck a guardrail. They say the car went over a concrete barrier and landed on Allen on Missouri Avenue in East St. Louis. Allen was the only occupant of the vehicle. He died at the scene. Less than a week into the new carbon monoxide law in St. Louis, residents are already confused about who needs one and where it should go. The new law says that all buildings with one or more sleeping areas heated by fossil fuel such as natural gas must have a detector. Detectors must be installed 15 feet from all rooms used for sleeping. The only exemptions are buildings that use electric heat unless they have an attached garage. Finally this hour, tickets for the Cardinals' winter warm-up are going fast. The club announced yesterday that admission passes for adults are sold out. A few children's passes remain at the Cardinals' offices at Busch Stadium while they last. The three-day event takes place from January 13th through the 15th. All proceeds from the event benefit Cardinals Care, the team's community foundation. Visit stlcardinals.com for more information. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic. Clayton at Skinker, there's a report of an accident. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for that accident. Been cleared at West Florissant, but there's still some residual delays. Eastbound 40 at Ballast and Spady. That accident before Spady has been cleared as well, but you can expect some residual delays there as well. Westbound 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Looks like you've got some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, you have some slowdowns rolling into Laclede's Landing. Northbound Route 3, that approach to the ramp there, you're going to see some final pushes through the final end of the morning rush hour. And eastbound 40 between Clayton and 170, look for some delays as well as you're rolling into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by no one. Actually, we're going to take a look now at your WGNU weather. Occasional rain today, high around 50 this evening, cloudy, chance of rain with a low in the mid-40s for Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning and afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high in the 50s, and Saturday cooler, mostly cloudy in the morning and becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high only in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have rain and 45 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting rain and 46. Liz Brown is not here today. Instead, we have more of the best of the wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. family's in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Now more of the best Wake Up Call right here on AM 950.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You can get up. You can get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Much, much, much to talk about. My number here is 454-0400. My long distance toll free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please do not forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So from Xenia to Zimbabwe, you can catch us on the World Wide Web. Get to us live. We have much to talk about. And as a heads up, we have a little bit of a contest in the last hour about why your sweetie deserves this beautiful Vermont teddy bear. Well, Howard, we have a drum roll. No, we don't have a drum roll. We'll pretend you have a drum roll because we do have a winner for our Vermont teddy bear, and we will a teddy bear giveaway. We'll be doing this again tomorrow, so I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Think about a reason why your sweetie deserves this gorgeous, gorgeous Vermont teddy bear. Tomorrow I'm going to be giving another one away from the Vermont Teddy Bear Company. And if you didn't get a chance to get one, you can always call the Vermont Teddy Bear at
1-800-829-BEAR or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. But the winner is, brought tears to my eyes and everybody else that was listening, Victor. Victor, our disabled vet whose beautiful daughter comes and takes care of him every day, and he wants to give this teddy bear to his daughter in honor of the vets and a man that is so lucky to have such a wonderful daughter. Teddy bear, unanimous decision. Teddy bear goes to Victor. So, Victor, if you could give us a call back, we'll find a way to get your daughter the Vermont teddy bear. But prepare yourself for tomorrow. We're going to be giving another one away. So get to me with a wonderful story about why your sweetie deserves this Vermont teddy bear. So let's get to our show this morning. Earlier this week, we had a discussion about a conference that was held, I believe, in Europe, talking about the debt. We had members of Jubilee on the wake-up call talking about the debt and why we must eliminate debt on our on countries, on poor countries out there. But as all of you know that listen to my show on a regular basis, you know my connection and my love and my passion about my continent, the continent of Africa. We're going to talk today with some people that are from the continent, and they have their own personal stories to talk about why this debt should be eliminated. And just as a background, I just want to say a little bit about the debt. There are 48 countries of sub-Saharan Africa that spend approximately $13.5 billion every year. I want to say that again, $13.5 billion every single year to repay debts to rich foreign creditors for past loans of questionable legitimacy. And I think that that is even too kind of a way to characterize the debts that have been inflicted upon the countries on our continent, the continent of Africa. And what we're going to talk about this morning through the eyes and the hearts and the minds of people who actually live on the continent, we're going to talk about why we need to cancel this debt, particularly since this good government of ours is advocating, after spending, sending trillions of dollars down a rat hole in Iraq to defend an illegal occupation of that country. Our good government is now advocating the elimination of the debt that Iraq owes. Well, if we can eliminate that debt, we certainly can eliminate the debts of 48 countries on the continent of Africa. And don't get me started about Haiti. But we need to get to our guest this morning, and I want to start with Anyango Rege, and she is a member of American Friends, and I want you to talk to us about who we have in the studio today and why they're here.
Good morning, Liz. Thanks for having us on your show. As you mentioned, I work with American Friends Service Committee, which is a peace and social justice organization that has a long tradition of doing social justice work throughout the world. We have an office here in St. Louis, which people are welcome to visit on North Skinker. We've launched a tour called the Life Over Debt Tour, which is part of our Life Over Debt campaign, calling for 100% debt cancellation for all countries in Africa, because we feel like Africa does not owe the debt, so they should not pay the debt. As part of our effort to do this, we've brought in six different speakers from different parts of Africa, youth speakers, young people, mm-hmm. Because we feel that it's important to lift up the voices of young people. So there's three of them that are in the Midwest and will be heading to the West Coast, and three of them speaking in the East Coast, just to speak from their perspective as young people about what we should do in response to the debt crisis. So we have Bomba from Zimbabwe, John Claude from Burundi, and Noma Santo from South Africa.
Okay, so I want to start with, I want to start with Bamba from Zimbabwe. Bamba, first of all, good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, thank you.
And it's wonderful to have all of you here to talk this, because this is such an important issue. I have a little pin that you gave me, I believe it was, about eliminating the debt in Africa, and life over debt is what the pin says. And Bamba, talk to us about what it is, what the weight of the debt is in Zimbabwe. Can you talk to us about that?
I think what we are seeing in Zimbabwe is that we are seeing a total collapse of the social service delivery system. And this is resulting from the fact that the government is spending so much on servicing an illegitimate debt, as you alluded to earlier on, rather than putting those resources to you know, social services, which are desperately needed.
So when I'm going to interrupt you on occasion, so bear with me. Social services. One of the criticisms that we hear leveled at Zimbabwe is the criticism that people in Zimbabwe are not getting the services that they deserve because of the leadership of Zimbabwe, your president, Robert Mugabe, when the reality of it is that your country is doing something that the United States really doesn't always do, mm-hmm. and that's actually pay back a debt that is really not owed. I mean, I live in a country where this country hasn't paid debts that it owes, and you live in a country where you're paying a debt that you don't owe.
If you look at the situation in Zimbabwe right now, the government is spending something like 7 times more on servicing debt than what it's putting to health and education combined. So you can then understand why we are seeing a collapse of all these things, and that is tied in with policies which are coming from the IMF and the World Bank, which are saying the World Bank, and they are saying open up the space in which government was supporting those social services for private operators. So we are seeing the privatization of health, we are seeing the privatization of education, and these services are becoming totally unreachable to the vast majority of the population who are poor, who cannot afford. And alongside that, we see the emergence of, you know, a privatized sector which is spruced up, but which can only service a tiny minority that is rich enough to do that. And we're seeing all this deriving from the debt burden that is imposed on the country. And most of these debts are debts which were accrued during Rhodesia, when the racist white regime which was there was borrowing massively to build the military services, to build the police, and construct various other instruments of repressing people who were calling for independence. So those are debts which were inherited after 1980 when there was majority rule. And after that as well, we continue to see most of these international financial institutions luring states to borrow monies and, imposing conditions which make it impossible to really repay that debt. Africa today is owing something like $300 billion, and if countries paying as much as like 13-14% of their export earnings on servicing debt, and it leaves really nothing to put to social services. So it's really, really like it's suffocating.
It's another form of enslavement. It's another way of owning the continent illegitimately.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely that. It's a form of enslavement. It's a form of domination and control. Because if we are so indebted, you do not have space, you do not have freedom to chart self-determination.
Mm-hmm. So and on a smaller scale here in the United States, one of the ways that, and this is really not comparable at all to what is going on in the continent, but now in the United States, in order to go to many private colleges, students have to take out loans of tens of thousands of dollars, and you end up with you graduate from college at the age of 21 with a $50,000 loan. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not going to go into social services because you have to pay that loan back. So it really determines the quality of your life when you have that kind of debt inflicted upon you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening at a much, much larger scale.
Absolutely.
Back home. I'm a student myself in my final year at the university. And for the past 3 years, I've been accruing, you know, every year a huge debt, because that loan system has been introduced as well, where government was coming in and supporting students, subsidizing education and things like that. The IMF World Bank policies dictate on states that they withdraw that kind of funding and, you know, open up space for the privatization of those services.
So, and it's not simply just the privatization of services, it's also a means to get at the wealth that each one of your countries have, the diamonds, the golds, the minerals, the natural resources. And we have to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about the elimination of the debt that has been inflicted upon the continent of Africa. And we will be back talking to our guests from Zimbabwe, South Africa, Burundi. Stay with us, folks. This is Liz Brown, The Wake-Up Call. We have much, much, much more to talk about. If you'd like to get in on an email, you can always email me at Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. We're taking a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Stick around for more of the best of The Wake-Up Call. It's up next, following these commercials, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Starting January 4th, be sure to tune in every Thursday morning from 11 to noon to It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. Join me, David Gaines, your host, as we discuss the topics that most affect you and your money. We'll have interesting guests that can give you real, usable knowledge about your money. That's every Thursday morning starting January 4th for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America, Incorporated, member NASD, SIPC. David Gaines, representative of Heartland Bank and Securities America, are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Stick around for more of Liz Brown. It's up on the way right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, please do that at Liz Brown, LizBrown, at sbcglobal.net. We are talking about the elimination of the debt on Africa, and I have guests here from Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Burundi. And one of the things that I really want to talk about, and Jean-Claude, I'm going to go to you next. I want to talk about, you are from Burundi. Talk to us about the debt that is on your country and how that debt came to be.
In my country, Burundi, debt is one of the weapons that Western countries are using by oppress our country, in addition of the war we are living today because of the colonialism, that the politic of dividing and rule that we have been inherited during the colonialist time by
give us a little region. History. Give us a little history of the colonialization of Burundi.
Colonialization in Burundi ends in 1962, where we get our independence. And as the colonialists were prepared, they were preparing before how they can divide the country in three ethnies, but they divided two ethnies, two Hutus and Tutsis, so that they can fight each other, and then they can get a time of just remaining this country, because they saw that it was impossible just to colonize that country, which was very organized, and although people respected the king as the father of the population, mm-hmm. they first divided the descendants of the king, and then Hutus and Tutsis, and they took Tutsis and they brought them at universities first, telling them that they are very, very intelligent, that Hutus, they are like white people, they can rule, but the Hutus cannot rule anymore. And then after, when we were claiming for our independence...
And this was generations of time that it took to inflict this type of sick mentality.
Yeah. And then today, Tutsis realize that they are very very proud of their ethnies. So they are superior. They can oppress Hutus.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got independence, they took Hutus and they brought them at university and tell them, you are oppressed, whereas you are majority. So you have just to stand up for your rights
and
then kill the Tutsis.
That's right.
And Hutus did so. And we saw our king being killed. It was horrible. And the mentality of Burundian to be the father of the children, killed by his children.
Mm.
And the fear between Hutus and Tutsis just began, and they killed one another. We are still killing one another until today. The President Hutu were elected in 1993, was killed by a national army. And today we are just, they are in negotiations, rebel groups and national army, to see how they can share the power. But we still watch much hypocrisy in this peace process, because Hutus don't accept Tutsis just to govern, because they know that if they govern, they can kill them.
Mm.
And Hutus is the same. So fear between us just is still going on. And people are dying. Malaria is killing children. AIDS is killing people. Children cannot go to school. Poverty, we have 68 population who are very poor. And we have 50,000 people living with AIDS, but now we are debt is coming just to add this oppression.
Mm-hmm.
We have today debt of $1.133 billion.
There's a $1.3 billion debt.
Yes, and we are trying to see how we can repair what has been destroyed in the war, and we are trying to make rehabilitation. And we need money just to rebuild what have been destroyed. And we need money for people who are sick, who have been injured in the war. But today we can see that our health institution is being privatized. Schools are being privatized. Water are being privatized because imposition of IMF. And whereas the majority of the civil servants are striking every time, asking the government to increase the salaries. But the IMF and the World Bank imposed the government to decrease the salaries.
So what we see from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, mm-hmm. we not only see that they loan this money with these
usurious rates, these outrageous rates, and in debt the country to the IMF. But then the IMF also comes in and imposes on the government and tells the government how to run the country. So then when we have workers that strike, civil servants workers that strike, the IMF says to the government, don't you pay them any more money. We're not going to let you pay them any more money. Yeah. So we have the IMF coming in and dictating to the government what the government should do. And the IMF and the World Bank is also coming in and saying, okay, not only am I going to tell you how to run this country, but you all have to privatize. You all have to go through our companies to do all of these services. Yeah. And then, as Bamba said, only a small amount of the population will be able to have access to these privatized services.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, that's why I call it a weapon to oppress a country. Because when you see a country is in a war, and people are hungry, they're poor, and then you impose the government to decrease the salary. The vice president, when he was explaining the civil servants what is happening from IMF and the World Bank, he said, so we have to judge, just to accept the oppression from the IMF or the oppression of the people. What can we take as decision?
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I try to listen to him, if he accepted this voice of the people that are claiming the increase in the salaries, the IMF and the World Bank would do everything just to cross out his power, and then the institutions are very, very powerful, and that he must accept instead of accepting his oppression, he accepts his rule. He privatized some because he cannot accept it to make a coup d'etat for himself.
Wow.
That's an oppression. That's a weapon.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. A weapon of oppression.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. We are talking about the debt inflicted upon the continent of Africa, the cost of the debt, the illegitimacy of the debt, and quite frankly, why this debt should be eliminated. And before we go, before we take this break, Onyango, you were going to tell us where we can hear more about this.
Yes, Liz. I just wanted to let your listeners know that our speakers will be speaking at Forest Park. In Highlander Lounge tomorrow, February 11th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
All right. Thank you very much, and we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. If you want to email me, you can do that at lizbrown@sbcglobal.net. My number here is 454-0400. We have much, much more to talk about. Stay with us.
Stick around for more of the best of The Wake Up Call. Up next, we'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top 10 o'clock hour, followed by Head Something Talk Radio with Brett Rosen.
Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen, letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. But it only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move, would they the engineer wanted a bite to eat? He let the monkey sit on
the... Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Now more of the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I never explain, so I am hoping that time will. Things may not go as you plan. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't you dare.
Don't you look down. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget to email me at lizbrown, L-I-Z-Z-B-R-O-W-N, at sbcglobal.net. We are talking about the elimination of the debt to the continent of Africa and why it should be done. We have voices from Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Burundi. We are now going to talk to Nomasanto? Is that right? Nomasanto?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
very good.
Correct.
From South Africa. Please talk to us about the debt in South Africa.
South Africa has a debt of about 25 billion in a year. That's what they're paying.
25 billion a year.
A year, that's what they're paying. And most of this debt was acquired during the apartheid regime to service and to sustain the white government during the apartheid era. What happened is that the money that was borrowed what was used to buy military to oppress our black brothers and sisters. And the other money was used to subsidize electricity for white, you know, citizens in South Africa. And some of it was used to subsidize their education and also their social services. So they could have all, you know, and blacks didn't have.
So black Africans pay for white folks' education, and now you're saddled with the debt.
Definitely. That's what is happening. And we are saying that is so illegal. We can't definitely pay that debt. We are not supposed to be paying it in the first place. And unfortunately, when our government took over, the black government took over in 1994, there was an expectation, a very high level of expectation from black folks that things were going to change. You know,
that the debt would be eliminated.
Exactly, definitely. But we saw that we're still paying the debt.
What's the explanation of your government for why you're still paying this debt?
I mean, the explanation is that basically because they didn't change the economic system, you see. So now they compromised and they just... rolled over, you know, within the white government. Because, I mean, the white, the economy in South Africa is still mainly dominated by white. You know, it's still in the hands of whites. So they're just there to, you know, continue with what was there. You know, because, I mean, they could have said, we are not going to pay the debt.
Yes, they could have.
And that's what we are saying, that let's not pay the debt.
Don't pay it.
I mean...
And that's the question that I want to ask all of you, because we only have about four more minutes left here. So, all of you, this is a question that is just... in my mind and heart, why are y'all paying this debt? Why is it, why is Burundi, why is Zimbabwe, why is South Africa paying an illegitimate, illegal, already paid debt? And is that something that you all are looking at in terms of changing?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is that Africa is a community. Is still divided.
Okay.
The process of colonialism started by dividing people and then establishing white colonial rule. So if Africa was to unite, close itself off, we've got basically all the resources that we need for Africa's development, from oil, from, you know,
water.
Africa is like a very, very rich continent. So I think for us to be able to unilaterally cancel and refuse to pay debt and then move on to claim what we are owed, because Africa was plundered through slavery, through colonialism, and the plunder continues today, so Africa is actually owed. But that means people must unite first. And as a young generation, we come here as part of a network, the Africa Youth Initiative Network, and we hope that from now onwards we can be able to build a new level of consciousness, you know, in which the young people of Africa understand clearly that they are being robbed, that they do not owe, and we can build a movement that can, at one point, you know, it's strong enough to unilaterally cancel.
And Noma Santo, in terms of that, is that the right path for people to be on, for young Africans to be on, to just say no? Say no to debt.
Of course. Okay. I think, first of all, we're calling for 100% debt cancellation.
100%.
I mean, because Africa doesn't owe anyone. In fact, Africa is owed, you know, by the North and the West countries, you know. So I think it is our call is that we don't owe anyone, you know. And then we as young people here, we are here to say that we want a stop to debt. And we are mobilizing young people to begin to raise that voice, to advocate for Africa, to say that Africa doesn't owe anyone and we are not going to pay that debt. And we are rising to begin to fight against that.
So how historical is this, Jean-Claude, that we have Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Burundi all here in one room saying the same thing? This is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, we share the same, because we are living, as we are treating our theme, is Africa is in age of global apartheid.
Okay.
And this global apartheid is being in many sort of oppressions. And then we are just living the same situation, the same oppression. That's why we are just calling all the people of the world just to say no to the debt, because it's injustice, it's oppression, it's illegal.
And the one thing that I really want to underscore also again is that y'all are owed. You don't owe anybody anything. Y'all are owed. And this kind of, the fact that you're even fighting this particular battle prevents you or kind of distracts you from pursuing the other battle of, you know, give me my money of what you owe me. So, Anyango, I want you to tell everybody again the opportunity that they have to come out and to hear about the debt.
Yes, thank you, Liz. They can come and hear our speakers more about the debt and hear from our speakers tomorrow, February 11th, Friday, at Forest Park Community College, Highlander Lounge, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
And how long are you all going to be on your tour?
We're going to be on the tour for, it's a one-month tour, mm-hmm. So we've been to Ohio. We just came from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be in St. Louis speaking at Webster and WashU today,
mm-hmm.
And then Forest Park tomorrow. Then we move to Portland,
okay.
And then to six different cities on the West Coast.
Okay, yeah. And then you go back home.
Yes, we come back home.
Okay, well, what I would like to invite all of you is to continue to listen to the show and to stay in touch, because this is such an important issue, and we all need to join hands on this, because this is something that really, really needs to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you all, Bamba, Jean-Claude, and Noma Santo, very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and have Godspeed on your journey.
Thank
Listen,
you.
Folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. Congressman John Conyers is going to be joining us in the next hour.
I'm hearing revolution.
Stick around for more of the best of the Wake Up Call tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Coming up next, it's Brett Rosen and Hey, Thumpin' Talk Radio. We're going to play a double selection from 920 Club to round out the hour. This is AM 920 WBU.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers, our sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
What I do.
Mm-hmm.